this morning, we continue to track rain pushing across most of our area. There's been even some thunderstorm activity. We're going to time this out and show you how the Easter weekend forecast looks coming up.
We're tracking road conditions ahead of your morning commute in the WRAL Storm Tracker. Coming up, a live look at what the roads will look like before you head out the door.
Also, breaking news we've been following from overnight. A man is dead after a shooting in Durham, where you're looking live right now. Nick Perlin is out there in the WRAL Breaking News Tracker with updates on the investigation.
And the search for a dog that got away from handlers at RDU, where you're looking live right now. What we know about the dog and how it got away from the airport crew. We will have that story and so much more coming up right now on your Weather Alert Day. Thanks for joining us. I'm Michelle McConaughey.
And I'm Jeff Hogan. Yeah, Weather Alert Day. It's been some doggone rain out there all day right now. And Anthony Baglione over in the WRAL Severe Weather Center. We'll get some pockets here coming up pretty soon, it looks like.
Yeah, we will. We're going to start to at least see at least some drier weather in some spots as we go through the next couple of hours. Good morning to all of you. We appreciate you watching here on this Thursday. What we're likely going to be seeing here the next couple of hours is, if you're out and about, for instance, I think the windshield wipers, instead of going really fast back and forth with heavy rainfall, it's going to be kind of that intermittent setting where you might need them for a little bit, you can back them off, and then you may need them a little bit more. That's kind of what we're going to go for. That cutoff line is pretty sharp right around the central parts of Wake County. Around Raleigh, we still have some mist and some shower activity. There's a sweep here for you over the past 5 to 10 minutes or so. Right around Goldsboro, Dunn, Fayetteville. But again, that line is getting very close. A place like Sanford and Durham, our coverage may be starting to wind down this morning. You notice, though, there are a few thunderstorms in eastern North Carolina. That's generally where they should remain. We are not under any severe risk today. Here's the activity we're seeing on Futurecast. It's a little bit farther to the west and what we're actually seeing out there as far as our observations are concerned, but still scattered showers here through the early part of this afternoon. We get closer to the evening commute. I do not think we will have as many problems as far as rainfall on the roads. We should be drying out by that point. And then tonight we clear on out. It'll be a little bit chilly to start tomorrow morning, and then a really nice Easter forecast on the way. Keep in mind, we do still have a flood watch that goes until 8 o'clock this evening. I think that timing may be just a little bit generous. We've seen them trim our far western counties off of that, and what this is saying is we could see some localized areas if you're prone to some flooding. Coming up though here in just a little bit, we will walk through that Easter forecast and show you just how warm it could get, Brian.
Anthony, it is now 8:02. Good news in Apex. It looks like they have cleared that crash that was blocking lanes on 540 northbound, heading away from the 55 bypass out toward the Viridia Parkway interchange there on the toll road. Traffic appears to be flowing freely. There's still maybe some police activity out there, but things are looking a lot better. So some good news there on the western side of Wake County. We'll head up to Franklin County, where I'm still watching reports of that crash on 401 near Clifton Pond Road. Some heavy southbound delays approaching that intersection as you head out of Lewisburg. That one's been there for a while now, but the delays appear to be pretty persistent. So it looks like they are still on the scene of that crash. This earlier incident out on 40 around Gorman Street on the south side of Raleigh apparently has cleared. Also, that earlier crash reported at 87 at 440 has cleared. So it's a pretty quiet scene right now around the triangle. Major routes looking good in Wake, Durham, and Orange County. Of course, we are dealing with wet roads. And as Anthony showed us on the radar just a moment ago, the most significant precipitation really is from Raleigh and that US 1 corridor on toward the east. So a lot of Wake County starting to dry out at least a little bit. We'll check in now with Kelsey Coffey in the WRAL Storm Tracker up on the Beltline. And how are things looking where you are, Kelsey?
Brian, Anthony just mentioned about having those windshield wipers on the intermittent setting just because we're not seeing that heavy downpour that we were before. And he's right. So you just got a few sprinkles here on our windshield for right now. But wet roads, you can see how the roads are wet right in front of us. That's definitely what you'll be seeing as you head out the door this morning. So give yourself a little bit of extra time before you head out on your morning commute just to make sure that you're safe on these roads. And Brian, do you have anything else to share with us about that traffic?
Chelsea, I'll take it from here. And breaking news, we're following out of Durham. A man is dead after a shooting on Old Chapel Hill Road. Nick Perlin has been on that scene since we came on the air at 4:30 this morning on WRAL Breaking News Tracker. Police, Nick, they've been there since 1:30 this morning, but daylight now. Any updates for us?
Well, Jeff, actually, just as we were coming on to air minutes ago, I just saw forensics walk up the steps of that home that we've been highlighting all morning. I'm going to step out of the way and show you again the home that we're looking at. It's this home right here. You can see those lights bouncing off the home. Police have been looking at this home all morning. We've seen investigators circling it. Like I said, we just saw forensics walk up the steps. Now, just to give you some background of what happened, Durham police arrived here at 1:30 this morning when they heard gunshots in the area. When they arrived, they did find one man with gunshot wounds. Sadly, he did die at the scene. Like you said, this did happen on Old Chapel Hill Road near Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. I'm going to pan over this way just a little bit to give you a better view of what we're looking at here. You can see Durham police here right there in the middle. They are basically, you know, commanding traffic here, making sure people are moving through this area safely as Durham police continue their investigation. Now, we're still trying to hear from Durham police about more information on who killed this man early this morning. Right now, we're still trying to get that information. Once we do have new information, we'll be sure to update you. Live in Durham, Nick Perlin, WRAL News.
And more breaking news. Three people are in the hospital after a crash on I-95 that involved four cars. The crash happened on I-95 South in Wade near the Newton Grove exit before 11:30 last night. This video shows the backup on the interstate there. The crash started when one vehicle spun around and hit another head on. First responders tell us nine people were in the cars that were involved. There's no word on how badly the people who went to the hospital were hurt.
Today, the federal investigation is moving forward into what caused the cargo ship to crash into the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore. New drone video has been released by the National Transportation Safety Board as of last night. It's giving us a deeper look at some of the aftermath of the collapse, the damage to the cargo ship also that hit the bridge. 21 crew members and two pilots were on that ship. They remain on board as the NTSB continues to investigate. And those federal investigators recovered a very important piece, the data recorder from the ship. They're analyzing that. Baltimore's port traffic is halted still. And today, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg plans to meet with supply chain officials about the effect that's having. Divers sadly recovered the bodies yesterday of two of the construction workers who fell into the water when the bridge collapsed. The search had to be suspended for the four other workers who still have not been found.
This morning, the search is on for a dog that escaped from handlers at RDU before it was supposed to board a flight. This is a live look at the airport right now, where that search has been going on for almost 24 hours now. So here's what we know. The dog is named Moose. It was supposed to board an Alaska Airlines flight with its owner on Tuesday night. That didn't happen because of what the airlines are calling a misstep in the loading process. Moose stayed at the airport until Wednesday morning, and the dog escaped as crew were trying to load it onto a flight to Seattle. Alaska Airlines says it's working with RDU to try and find Moose.
Sweet 16 of the NCAA men's basketball tournament gets underway tonight. Three teams from the Triangle are left in the field looking for spots in the Elite Eight. UNC will be first up, trying to punch its ticket tonight. They'll play Alabama in Los Angeles. That game tips off right around 9:39 tonight's Eastern time. And WR's Pat Welter is in L.A. with the Heels. Tomorrow night, NC State and Duke will try to advance to the Elite Eight. NC State plays Marquette in the first game in Dallas. Tip off for that 7:09. 30 minutes after that game ends, Duke will play top-seeded Houston. So if the Wolfpack and Blue Devils both win, guess what? They will play each other in the Elite Eight Sunday. WRL's Chris Lee is in Dallas for all that action. We also have two women's teams in this year's Sweet 16. That's being played in Portland. Third-seed NC State will take on Stanford tomorrow night, 7:30. Seventh-seeded Duke will try to extend its run against UConn Saturday at 8. You can look for all the post-game action right here on WRAL News.
Coming up for us, recovery efforts have paused after the catastrophic bridge collapse in Baltimore. Still ahead, we'll hear from the brother of one of the victims caught on the bridge as it went down.
And would you believe the cost of groceries is trending down? It might not feel that way when it comes time to pay, but we'll explain how much we expect prices to climb this year.
As we take a live look right now, our White Lake camera, this tells the story weather-wise. We see the raindrops on the camera, definitely a little bit kind of choppy on the water. We're going to talk about here what to expect as we head into the Easter weekend coming up.
8:13, the time right now as you look live in Fayetteville. It's our Fayetteville newsroom right there. As you watch WRL News, available on Spectrum and the WRL app on your TV or streaming device. We are just mired in a crummy stretch of weather happening right now. Don't fall in there, Anthony. It looks pretty nasty behind you.
I'll try not to. I'm going to hop up here on the dock or something. Yeah, it's nasty out there for us in some spots. Thankfully, we're trying to get a little bit of some drier weather filtering in. But this is the picture that kind of sums up our weather this morning. It's a beautiful shot, of course, our White Lake camera. I love this one. But we see the raindrops coming down. The water's just a little bit choppy. We're going to start to see a little bit drier weather, though, into later on today for the majority of our viewing area. We're already starting to see a little bit of that, though. Sanford, for instance, is not really in the actively raining area. And right around Raleigh, we're starting to see this back edge. Most of that coverage is from Wake County off to the east. Some of our southern areas, Fayetteville, still seeing that rainfall. But you notice the general direction of this is a very slow movement to the east as a cold front back to our west kind of acts as a forcing mechanism to kind of push this out of the area. And then behind that, we're going to see some dry weather into tomorrow. Let's time this out here on Futurecast. So I think our evening commute, it will be a whole lot better compared to what we're seeing out there this morning, at least as far as the rain. We should be dry. I don't anticipate big time issues as far as the weather is concerned. There's 5 o'clock on our Thursday, maybe just a stray shower or two. I think that might be just a touch overdone. The clouds try and get on out of here. We may see a peak or two of sunshine. I don't have a straight cloudy. I went for mostly cloudy today because the majority of the day will have a lot of clouds, but we still could see some sun peeking through. We have our flood watch, though, outlined from the National Weather Service. They have this up for the majority of our viewing area. They did trim, though, some of our western counties out of this because of the general direction of this system. What this is saying is if you have an area that normally floods when you get heavy rainfall or any rainfall, the rivers, the creeks, the streams, that's kind of what the flood watch is outlining. We could see maybe another half an inch or so of some rain that could make for just some localized issues. We're at 50 there, Goldsboro, Raleigh, Durham, times 3, 50 and Clinton 48 in South Hill. A little bit cool for us with the rainfall and the cloud cover. Temperatures don't move much. Notice we are only at 55 around the triangle, 55 in Durham. What's likely to happen is because we have the clouds, because we have the rain, there's not much of a warm up into this afternoon where the sun can kind of heat the atmosphere up. That's not going to be the case as we get into tomorrow and the weekend. We have a little bit of everything there, 60s, 70s. We have an 80 degree reading on Sunday, maybe a little bit breezy for us as we get into tomorrow. We could see winds gusting between about 20 and 30 miles an hour. I don't anticipate that, though, being a freezing wind. It's going to be kind of starting to warm us up into the weekend where it won't feel too bad overall. We go to 55 today. That's the coolest out of the next seven. 55 today, 69 tomorrow, 77 on Saturday. A really nice Easter weekend. Travel across the entire state is looking just fine. 80 Sunday, 81 on Monday. Then for the home opener there of the Durham Bulls, we may see some rain in the forecast. I do think that comes in at late Tuesday night into Wednesday morning. At this point, doesn't look like it would affect the game, but we'll keep watching that. 69 degrees there with some more rainfall activity, Brian, into Wednesday of next week.
All right, Anthony, here at 8:16, we have all new a crash on 85 southbound just as you're crossing Falls Lake heading into Durham. You can see all the activity is over here on the right shoulder. No travel lanes blocked, but a reminder about North Carolina's move over law. When you see those flashing lights, you do need to move over at least one lane to give them some room to work. 3-minute delay showing up overall as you head out of Butner toward Durham. Almost all of that is on that bridge over Falls Lake. And again, it clears up very quickly once you get through there. Elsewhere around the triangle, we're watching some backups on 40 westbound right around Gorman Street. We had a report of a crash there earlier. Never saw any signs of a crash on the camera, but we're still measuring about a 2-minute delay as you head through there. Very likely it's just typical congestion for this point in the morning commute. In Franklin County, still have that crash reported at 401 around Clifton Pond Road south of Lewisburg, but it looks like the readings on the sensors are looking a lot better on that southbound side, not seeing nearly the kind of delays we were measuring a little while ago. Elsewhere, looks fine around the triangle. In Wake County, Durham County, and Orange County, major routes are all clear at the moment. Not seeing any delays on I-40 as you head through Garner. 87 out of Knightdale looking pretty good as well, all the way back toward the Beltline, and just a 3-minute delay right now on southbound Capitol coming in from Wake Forest.
Only on WRAL today, the state will transfer control of Nash County's child welfare services back to the county. This move comes more than 6 months after the state took them over. The first state probe into Nash County's DSS began after a WRAL investigation into the beating death of 8-year-old Crystal Lane. Law enforcement told WRAL they recommended the girl be removed from her home to Nash DSS weeks before her murder. A second WRL investigation found another child died in Nash County's care 3 years earlier. The state took over control in August. Since then, the state says significant progress has been made with the agency, and that includes the hiring of Danita DeVega as new director.
The cause of a fire at an abandoned house in Cary is under investigation. It happened last night on Davis Drive. This video was sent in by a viewer, and you can see the massive blaze and smoke there. It took about 20 minutes for firefighters to get it under control. No injuries were reported.
This morning, family members of the bridge collapse victims in Baltimore continue to hold out any hope for news that their loved ones may be safe. One day after the bodies of two of those construction workers were recovered, trapped in a pickup truck underwater, their families are sharing their grief now. The bodies pulled from the river were identified as Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes and Dorlian Roniel Castillo Cabrera. We also know the identity of a third worker, 38-year-old husband and father of three, Maynard Yasser Suazo Sandoval. His body hasn't been recovered, but his brother, through an interpreter, reflected on what Suazo Sandoval meant to their family.
He was the breadwinner for his children right now. God is going to provide for us too, so we can get together as a family and see how we can help each other because, at this moment, his wife is left with his girls and everything.
The workers were on that bridge filling potholes when the cargo ship hit a support column on the key bridge. Family members identified a fourth worker, Miguel Luna, a father of two from El Salvador. He, Suazo Sandoval, and two others are presumed dead. Once it's safe for divers, officials say recovery workers will resume their search for other remains.
And happening now in the WRL Live Center, an investigation continues this morning after a shooting at a daycare center in Springfield, Virginia. This is video from that scene. Police arrived to find two daycare center workers injured. More than 70 children were inside that facility at the time of that shooting, but according to authorities, all the children made it out of the daycare safely. They were released to their parents and guardians this morning. That daycare center is closed today. No word yet on why this happened. Police do have a man in custody, but that investigation continues this morning.
Women are coming forward on social media saying they were punched by men while walking in downtown Manhattan. Multiple videos uploaded to TikTok have picked up traction in the past week. One woman said she was assaulted walking home from class, another on her way to work. Still another said it happened while she was out walking her dog. New York police say they've made an arrest in one incident. They're investigating another, and they say it's unclear if the reported attacks are connected.
Food prices are slowing down, but Americans are saying they're still seeing the steep prices at the grocery store. Ted Linder explains the results of a new study that sheds light on how consumers perceive prices.
Whether you love grocery shopping or not, inflation is still making those trips to the store painful for many consumers.
$200 easily, and it's like not even 2 weeks of groceries.
Food price inflation reached a high of just over 11% in 2022. And while food inflation over the last few months has been slowing to pre-pandemic levels, data from Purdue University's latest Consumer Food Insights report finds many Americans aren't feeling relief.
So while food price inflation over the last year officially is 2.1%, respondents in our survey tell us food price inflation is much higher. They tell us food prices have risen by 6% in the past year.
It's like, you wonder where we're going to go.
So what's causing shoppers to perceive prices as being higher than they are?
Official measures of inflation are either month to month or year over year. Consumers might not necessarily think in terms of years, but they might think of prices today relative to some period in the past, maybe before the pandemic.
Adding insult to injury, researchers say it's harder to notice decreasing food prices when the overall cost of living remains steep.
When, for example, your rent rises or your housing payment rises, that leaves less money to spend on other things, including food.
Going forward,
64% tell us that food prices are going to rise in the next year, which is not surprising.
That was Ted Linder reporting there. Well, coming up for us, power may be back on for much of the triangle, but some are waking up to debris in their neighborhoods. We have a look at some of that damage from power lines falling down overnight.
Plus, women are taking to social media to talk about their surprise pregnancies after going on Ozempic. A nurse practitioner will explain how the weight loss drug affects birth control pills.
Stay safe with the latest WRAL Weather Alert Day info. Get up-to-the-minute weather and traffic conditions when you get in your car. In Raleigh on 99.3 FM, in Durham 96.5 FM, and everywhere on 101.5 HD3.
Good morning and happy Thursday. Time now is 8:26. I'm Michelle McConaughey. A lot of our eastern counties still seeing that rain. We are under a flood watch until tonight. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione walks us through what we can expect, Anthony.
Yeah, technically, Michelle, we still have this flood watch, like you said, till 8 o'clock this evening. I really think we're going to start to see them, though, canceling some of these counties, especially Wake County, central parts of our viewing area. We definitely still have the rainfall coming down across our eastern areas, but starting to make some progress for most of the rest of us. There's a look in North Hills, looking a whole lot better. It's definitely gray. It's cloudy. We may have some mist still out there, but the bulk of this rainfall, the cutoff is pushing out of Wake County. Goldsboro, definitely talking about it right now. Dunn, Fayetteville. That's the general movement, though, of this system is off to the east, and I think especially by this afternoon, we should be looking a whole lot better. There's future cast, though. We start to see scattered showers kind of pushing out of the area. Our evening commute should look a whole lot better, and then we clear on out into tonight with more dry weather on the way for the weekend.
Anthony, I'm watching a crash on the right shoulder of 85 southbound just over the Falls Lake Bridge heading back toward Durham. You can see some activity there on the side of the road. About a 4-minute delay overall coming in from Butner back toward Durham. Overall, our major routes around the triangle are looking just fine. We do have a report of a minor crash on 40 eastbound around the US 1 interchange on the southwest side of Raleigh, but I'm not seeing any delays showing up on the sensors there. All your other major approaches into Raleigh and Durham are looking good.
Thank you, Brian. Next on Fox 50, we'll check back in with Kelsey Coffey and the WRAL Storm Tracker as she monitors the road conditions for us. And coming up next on Today, U.S. News and World Report, the best over-the-counter health products for 2024.
We still are under a flood watch until 8 o'clock this evening, but the rain is really starting to wind down for some of us. We're going to talk about the where it's still hanging on coming up.
And we're also tracking those road conditions for you this morning. You are taking a live look at downtown Raleigh from the WRAL Storm Tracker. We'll check in with Kelsey Coffey as she monitors those roads.
One man is dead after shooting near this home on Old Chapel Hill Road in Durham. Coming up, I'll tell you just how long police have been investigating.
Plus three, count them, three triangle teams fighting for their spot in the Elite Eight beginning today. UNC plays tonight against Alabama, and they tell us they are embracing that challenge.
Yeah,
you better
excited.
Embrace it. You better get ready to score a lot of points because they do. But you know what? Alabama doesn't play defense like UNC plays defense.
There you go.
We'll see how it goes. We're glad you're with us here at 8:30. There's your breakdown. I'm Jeff Hogan.
And I'm Michelle McConaughey. All right, we'll get to more on that coming up. But first, we got to talk about this weather, this dreary weather that everybody's waking up to this morning. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione with a not-so-nice look over North Hills. Usually beautiful, but today, you know, rainy.
Kind of gross looking, I mean, we need some rainfall, of course, so I don't want to minimize that at all. But we have the clouds. We have some light drizzle out there. Like we saw yesterday, we have the clouds, and it's just not necessarily the nice as far as sunshine is concerned. It's nice to take a nap or just hang inside in that regard. We are going to get some drier weather, though, slowly starting to filter in. There's our beautiful shot, though, from North Hills. You can see as far as that camera point, that view right there looks pretty good. We talk about, though, where the rainfall currently sits. The back edge of this, it's just being pesky, to be honest with you. It's trying to push out of Raleigh right there, but we're still holding on to some light rainfall across eastern Wake County. Goldsboro, Dunn, Fayetteville, our eastern counties are for sure still seeing rainfall coming down. I was just looking at our White Lake camera a second ago, and it's definitely coming down here and pretty heavily in that area. We go to 50 degrees currently in Raleigh, 50 in Durham, 52 in Fayetteville, and there's all the rainfall showing up here on FutureCast for us. us. It's going to be pretty light to moderate. We should get another update here on FutureCast, a brand new run that I can bring you in just a little bit. But for the most part, scattered showers off and on through the first part of the day, really looking a whole lot better here into this afternoon. Our evening commute should be much better. I don't anticipate much rainfall, if any, coming down then. And then we see skies clearing on out. It'll be a really nice day tomorrow and a huge warm-up on the way for Easter weekend. We'll talk about how high temperatures could climb, Brian, here in a few.
Anthony, it's now 8:32. We're still watching a minor crash over on the right shoulder of 85 southbound, just as you cross the bridge over Falls Lake into Durham. Not even seeing police on the scene with this one anymore. Just a few vehicles on the right shoulder. About a 3-minute delay overall. You can see with that live update, it just dropped to a 2-minute backup coming in from Butner to Durham. And as we zoom into that area, the sensors show you that those backups really are confined to some very minor delays right over the bridge there over Falls Lake. As soon as you get through that area back into Durham, you're going to be in good shape heading all the way down toward 885 and beyond. Report of a disabled vehicle out here on Centennial Parkway behind the TV station. Also a report of a minor crash on 40 eastbound around the US 1440 interchange. Of course, it is spring break week, so we have had pretty light traffic volume compared to what we typically see, and certainly that's the case this morning looking at those live sensors. We've also been watching that live dual Doppler 5000 radar as that rain starts to push to the east of the triangle. Not really seeing too much rain falling actively in Raleigh, but we are seeing some wet roads. Let's check in with the WRL storm tracker and Kelsey Coffey in downtown Raleigh. How's it looking, Kelsey?
Brian, it's exactly what you just mentioned. There are really not any active rain at the moment, but still some wet roads to watch out for as you all are about to head out on your morning commute. But let's give you a look at video now from overnight when a tree fell on Dixie Trail in Raleigh. That was about 2 o'clock this morning. You may have heard those thunderstorms overnight, but really right now, active rain shouldn't be your concern here in Raleigh. Just checking out for those wet roads. So be sure just to give yourself a little bit of extra time for your morning commute. Kelsey Coffey, WRL News, live in Raleigh.
And we're following breaking news in Durham this morning. A man is dead after a shooting on Old Chapel Hill Road just after 1:30 this morning. Nick Perlin was at the scene in the WRL breaking news tracker all morning and has more.
Durham police have been on scene since 1:30 this morning investigating a shooting near this home behind me in Durham that left one man dead. Now, I do want to show you this video from the WRL breaking news tracker. You can see Durham police focusing the investigation around this home on Chapel Hill Road right next to Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. You can see blue and red lights flickering onto the home, as well as yellow crime scene tape surrounding it. Durham police say they arrived here at 1:30 this morning after they heard gunshots in the area. When they arrived, they saw a man with gunshot wounds. Sadly, he died at the scene. Durham police are still trying to find out who killed that man. Once they have that information, we'll be sure to pass it along. In Durham, Nick Perlin, WRL News.
We take it to Southern Pines now. There were several units that responded to a house fire late last night. This was the scene on Cardinal Road. You see, there was heavy smoke coming from that two-story home. Fire chief says the fire started in the second floor. It damaged the roof and one end of that home. Two adults and a young child got out of that home before emergency responders arrived.
Today, the federal investigation into what caused the ship crash that brought down the Francis Scott Key Bridge in Baltimore, it's moving forward. The new drone video released by the National Transportation Safety Board last night is giving us a closer look at the aftermath of the collapse and the damage to the cargo ship that hit the bridge. 21 crew members and two pilots were on that ship, and they remain on board as the NTSB investigates.
And Michelle, divers recovered the bodies yesterday of two of the construction workers who fell into the water when that bridge collapsed. They were identified last night as Alejandro Hernandez Fuentes and Dorlian Ronio Castillo Cabrera. The search for four other workers who still have not been found had to be suspended. Federal investigators recovered the data recorder from the ship. They're analyzing that. The NTSB says 760 tons of hazardous materials were on the ship. Some are leaking. Baltimore's port traffic remains halted right now. And today, Transportation Secretary Pete Buttigieg plans to meet with supply chain officials about the effect that's having.
Breaking news, three people are in the hospital after a crash on I-95 that involved four cars. Take a look at this. The crash happened on I-95 South and Wade near the Newton Grove exit before 11:30 last night. This video shows the backup on the interstate. The crash started when one vehicle spun around and hit another head on. First responders tell us nine people were in the cars that were involved. There's no word on how badly the people who went to the hospital were hurt.
A high school student will be in a Cumberland County courtroom today, charged with threatening a shooting at his school. 19-year-old Dwight McCoy is charged with communicating threats of mass violence on educational property. He's a student at Grays Creek High School. The sheriff's office says the threat happened after McCoy was already facing disciplinary action. He called his dad, who came to the school, and McCoy and his father got into an argument with the school security staff. Officials say that's when McCoy threatened to shoot up the school. He did not have a gun. Administration put the school under a code red lockdown, though, as a precaution.
We're following some breaking news here in the WRAL Live Center. I want to take you right to these live pictures coming into our newsroom from Cleveland, Ohio. This is a historic church that's on fire on Cleveland's east side. You can see a ladder truck just pouring water inside that building. When firefighters arrived around 7 o'clock this morning, the entire church was fully engulfed. And at this point, firefighters have gotten the fire out. And right now, they're just checking for hot spots and just pouring water onto that building. This is happening at the Pentecost. Pentecostal Determined Church of God. It's on the city's east side in the Union Miles community. This church, by the way, was added to the National Registry of Historic Places in May of 1974. So this is a huge loss for the history of that church there in the Cleveland neighborhood. We'll keep you updated with any new developments.
All right, thanks, Ken. The Sweet 16 of the NCAA men's basketball tournament gets started tonight. Three teams from the Triangle are left in the field looking for spots in the Elite Eight. UNC will be the first to try and punch their ticket. They'll play Alabama tonight in Los Angeles. Tip-off for that one is 9:39. And WREL's Pat Welter is in L.A. with the Heels in less than 10 minutes. He'll give us a breakdown of what UNC needs to do to keep up with the fast-paced Crimson Tide.
And then tomorrow night, NC State and Duke will try to advance to the Elite Eight. NC State plays Marquette in the first game in Dallas. Tip off of that, 7:09. 30 minutes after that game ends, Duke will play top-seeded Houston. If the Wolfpack and Blue Devils both win, they'll play each other in the Elite Eight Sunday. WRO's Chris Lee is in Dallas for all that action.
And the Powerball jackpot continues to climb toward $1 billion. No one matched all of the numbers during last night's drawing. That top prize now sits at an estimated $935 million. So here's a look at those winning numbers. 37, 46, 57, 60, 66. Your Powerball is 8. The Power Play is 2. Your next chance to play is Saturday. You can watch that drawing on WREL right before our 11 o'clock news.
Coming up, it's a booming trend on TikTok. Women reporting they've become pregnant while taking weight loss medication. We'll look into the Ozempic baby phenomenon and how it could be a good sign for women who were told they can't have children.
Plus, today is opening day for Major League Baseball, and just in time, a new and unique job offering for hot dog fans. We'll explain.
We'll give you this live look at Rocky Mount Mills right now. A rainy morning, as you can see. And today is a WRL weather alert day. Anthony Baglione will tell us when the rain will move out. We may get some warmer temperatures moving in, and hopefully not that flooding we're expecting.
Welcome back on your rainy Thursday morning as we look live over Clinton. This is the view for most everybody this morning heading out the door. It is a wet, soggy day, but things will push out later on this afternoon. Meteorologist Anthony Baglione shows us exactly where the rain is falling now and how long it's going to last.
Well, it's interesting, Michelle, because if we, you know, we had the rain out there this morning and then we're drying out tomorrow, it's coming in at a good time if you have plans to travel or just enjoy the Easter weekend. We're going to be dry all three of those days, or at least for a Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. Let's talk about where we sit, though, as we do a live sweep there on radar. Currently, the bulk of this moisture is really in our eastern counties. We're not seeing much anymore coming down across Wake County, across Durham, Sanford. Fayetteville is kind of on the cutoff right there. Goldsboro, definitely seeing it come down there. So it's just very location dependent currently. We take a zoomed in view for you. It's pretty light to moderate coverage, but coming down Rocky Mount, Wilson, Greenville, Clayton, Smithfield, that line is definitely a pretty sharp cutoff where Durham and Henderson right now looking relatively calm as far as rainfall coming down. And then there's a little bit bit of a heavier pocket just to the south of Fayetteville there as you get out of our viewing area, but still, that's kind of where the bulk of the coverage currently is. We're in the 40s and 50s right now. I only have us getting up to about 55 for a high temperature around the triangle. It'll be a little bit cool, but then we start to warm up as we get into tomorrow and especially this weekend. Close to, if not at, 80 on Saturday, and then as we get into Sunday, I do think we will hit 80. Let's talk about Futurecast here. So this is the newer run on the model. We take this forward in time the next couple of hours. It really continues to paint that picture of a lot of heavy rainfall, mainly east of our area. I think overall this system is starting to wind down for us, but we're still going to be a little bit unsettled the next couple of hours. Could we get a light shower closer to 2, 3, 4 o'clock or so? Yes, that potential is certainly there. But our evening commute, you will not be driving home and having pouring down rain across our entire viewing area. It's going to be a lot more settled than what we're seeing out there this morning, or at least what we have seen this morning. Here's a look at close to 8 o'clock tonight. The clouds clear on out. We could even see a little bit of sunshine before that sun goes down here as we get into tonight. There still is a flood watch outlined. I do think we will start to see this trimmed back. I don't anticipate big time issues. This comes out here from the National Weather Service, and they do a great job of kind of pinpointing those areas where we could see potential problem spots. As of now, based on what we are seeing, there could be a little bit more redevelopment of the rain, but most of that I think is pushing off to our east. One area of concern though here as we go forward in time, of course, we get the rainfall today. It takes a little bit of time to filter down through the rivers. The Tar River there in Tarboro, we're forecasting moderate flooding by the time we get into our Monday. That would be right about 23.8 feet, 24 feet, kind of a cutoff there for some decent flooding. So just bear that in mind if you're right along the river. Otherwise, we go for 50s today, 55 in the triangle back here at home. We're talking lots of cloud cover, some rainfall pushing through. Again, a lot of that starting to wind down, but it may feed a little bit more on itself over the next couple of hours. Here's a look at the game forecast tonight. Of course, starting off a very big game, the Sweet 16, UNC versus Alabama. This is the game here, the forecast for home. We're talking temperatures at 49 there at 9 o'clock, 48 at 10. It does get a little bit chilly as we get into tonight, but the rainfall will be done here. And then tomorrow night looks like a great forecast as well if you have any watch parties going on. Upper 60s on our Friday, 77 on Saturday, 80 on Sunday, 81 on Monday. Guys, looking a whole lot better here as we get into the Easter weekend.
Looks beautiful. Thanks, Anthony. Well, we are hours away from UNC playing Alabama, and a trip to the Elite Eight is on the line. WRL's Pat Welter is in Los Angeles with the Heels, breaking down the challenge they face as they try to get past the Crimson Tide.
A lot of smiles from the Carolina players at their open practice, and you'd think a player like RJ Davis might be used to this by now after making the national championship 2 years ago, but he said no. That was the greatest feeling ever, and he's trying to get it back. Davis and the Tar Heels taking the floor inside Crypto.com Arena Wednesday to prepare to face Alabama, one of the highest scoring, highest tempo teams in the country. They know they're going to have to throw the first punch in this one. Davis embracing the challenge and the opportunity.
I dreamed of this moment. I've seen a lot of games as a kid, just watching March Madness, watching a lot of players just make history and be a part of something that's special and they'll be known forever. So it means everything to me. It means a lot because, you know, I've worked so hard and this team worked so hard just to get back to this point, and to kind of just embrace and cherish every moment that's coming with it. So it's March, so I'm enjoying it, and I'm just super happy to be back.
UNC got down 14 points early to Michigan State, and RJ Davis told me that's their next step to be great. Come out and set the tone. They get in a hole against a team like Alabama, they might not be able to climb their way out. Pat Welter, WRL Sports, Los Angeles.
Pat will be bringing us all the big stories with the Tar Heels in California. Chris Lee is in Dallas with the NC State and Duke squads. UNC takes on Alabama in L.A. It's 9:39 approximately Eastern time tonight. Tomorrow's NC State tipping it up with Marquette, 7:09 for that. And then it's Duke versus Houston 30 minutes after that game ends. We also have two women's teams in this year's Sweet 16. They'll be played in Portland. Third seed NC State will take on Stanford tomorrow night, 7:30. Seventh seed Duke tries to extend its NCAA tournament run. They'll play against UConn Saturday, 8 p.m. You can look for all the post-game action right here on WRL News.
A possible side effect of weight loss drugs may be pregnancy, and surprise Ozempic babies are going viral right now. A growing number of women are becoming pregnant while using Ozempic and Wegovy, even while taking birth control. Medical experts say due to the nature of the weight loss drug, pills of many kinds may not be absorbed.
It can affect the absorption of the pill because it affects digestion. There isn't a directly labeled warning for that, so we haven't seen any direct evidence of that, but it is a concern for oral medications, any of them, including birth control.
And she says people with the condition PCOS, or polycystic ovarian syndrome, can improve their fertility with weight loss. So when Ozempic does its job, it may make those women fertile. Health experts say you should stop using Ozempic immediately if you become pregnant.
Franklin County man spotted a neat sight prowling through his neighborhood there, a bobcat. This was near a creek. He caught it on his trail camera. Take a look at the video. Bobcats, they're not uncommon in North Carolina, but it's not very often that you see them or get video of them just kind of walking around in the daytime. They usually run from people, but we have reported a few attacks in the last couple of years.
In your entertainment news, Ariana DeBose will host this year's Tony Awards and the first look at a new Emma Stone movie. Ashley Dvorkin has that and more in the Hollywood Nation. Emma's next role, a sequel with a twist and a Broadway celebration in today's Hollywood Nation. Ariana DeBose will return to host the Tony Awards. It will be the third time in a row the Oscar winner and Tony nominee has hosted the ceremony. The 77th annual Tony Awards air live from New York City June 16th on CBS and Paramount Plus. Nominees will be announced April 30th.
J'adore mon poisson rouge.
Every time we do this, I feel so high tone.
Break out the martinis. Anna Kendrick and Blake Lively will reunite with director Paul Feig for the sequel to 2018's A Simple Favor. A Simple Favor 2 will send their characters to Capri for a wedding, where the film synopsis promises murder and betrayal to RSVP, along with many twists and turns. The film is targeting spring to start production and will stream on Prime Video. In today's first looks is Yorgos Lanthimos and Emma Stone's next movie. On the heels of Stone's Poor Things Oscar win, the director and star introduce Kinds of Kindness, which is described as a triptych fable. The cast includes Jesse Plemons and Willem Dafoe. It's in select theaters June 21st.
It was Ashley Dvorkin reporting. It is Major League Baseball's opening day in the United States. If you love ballpark food, we have a job opportunity that might be just for you. BetUS is paying one lucky person to travel to all 30 Major League Baseball ballparks this season and rate their hot dogs. It's a wiener connoisseur. You can get $2,500, a $500 gift card to the Major League Baseball gift shop, and a one-year subscription to MLB TV. You do have to apply for this before April 18th.
That's not a bad job.
Yeah.
I'll take it. All right, Punxsutawney Phil has two new little shadows following him around. The Groundhog Club announced that Phil's wife, Phyllis, recently gave birth to two healthy pups. Here they are. People in Punxsutawney can get a look at them through a viewing window at the town's library. The pups have not been given names yet, but this was a shock. They said they went to go feed them, like any other day, and they said, oh my gosh, there's babies in there. They didn't even know she was pregnant.
That is pretty funny that they didn't know that, yeah. But, Phil and Phyllis have been around for a while.
Yeah.
And now they're going to have like four shadows to worry about now next February when we have Groundhog Day.
They're very little and cute. Congratulations.
Can't wait for the names.
Yeah. All right. Before we go to break, here are the winning lottery numbers. We'll get another check on weather and traffic next.